What did Ripley say? We have to nuke this place from orbit. I thought that she had said all these years, and I just found out last week. I thought she said, we'll have to nuke this place for morbid.
What does that mean?
I thought it was just some kind of space term for, like,
oh,
for
yeah,
them.
You
like,
know.
For...
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So Thanksgiving is upon us.
It sure
is. As every holiday tends to descend. And we just thought we'd give you a little Thanksgiving episode to let you know how to give thanks during the holiday.
Yeah.
Or to avoid thanks.
Yeah.
Or to avoid the holiday.
Well, first of all, we got to straighten out a few things. We have some myths about Thanksgiving that that prevail to this day. And it makes, we just need to get
need
it
to clear the
out.
Air.
Yeah.
We just want to set a few ground rules here,
lay
it bare.
So first off, the myth number one is that the pilgrims held the first Thanksgiving.
No.
No, they did not.
These are things that I was told, you were probably told them as well in school. I don't know what kind of crap they fill the kids' heads with now about history, but hopefully this is not one of them.
To see what the first Thanksgiving was like, you have to go to Texas. Texans claim that the first Thanksgiving...
Of course. They're like the Little Richard of states. Woo! We invented everything. Woo! 13 colonies. Who cares?
Yeah. They said that the first Thanksgiving in America actually took place in San Elizario, a community near El Paso, in 1598.
All right. So I guess they had robbed the Mexicans already.
23 years before the Pilgrims Festival,
huh?
They say. For several years, they've staged a reenactment of an event that culminated in the Thanksgiving celebration.
Mm-hmm.
The arrival of a Spanish explorer.
Who's giving thanks for that?
Yeah, I know.
Not
right?
Anybody that was already here. Yeah. They were brutal.
They've had a big Thanksgiving festival after leading hundreds of settlers on a grueling 350-mile-long trek across the Mexican desert.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so the myth number two is Thanksgiving was about family.
It's not about family. Wasn't it about survival?
Yeah, but if by Thanksgiving you have in mind a pilgrim festival, forget it being a family holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Put away your Norman Rockwell painting. Turn off Bing Crosby. Thanksgiving was a multicultural community event.
Who has Bing Crosby on anymore? Really? Most people don't even know who Bing Crosby is.
I know,
is.
That's true. Somebody.
I think I might have an album. My mom might have an album at home.
Yeah.
Maybe.
No, the Pilgrims would have never invited the Indians to join them. And by the way, the Indians, or the Native Americans, they were, like, the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving was days long. It was just a harvest celebration, basically. Mm-hmm. They were just eating.
European style.
Yeah.
Lock yourself in a hall, eat as much as you can.
And they were shooting muskets, and they were doing, you know, different things, and they were making such a ruckus that the Native Americans were like, what's going on over there? And they went to investigate to see what was going on.
Shut this piece down! Some of us are trying to get some shut-eye over here.
And they were like, oh, well, you're here now, so why don't you get something to eat? And
what's that's it? What Look it was- who's here.
Hey,
who are these guys? I don't know. They say they know John. they're dressed.
I just heard a lot.
Yeah, let them in.
And so...
you guys mind putting these jackets on and accepting Christianity? Come on in.
So the Native Americans came by and they sat down and they ate that way. And they also went out and got some deer and brought them back and cooked them.
We're like, they got their food is shit.
Yeah.
If we're going to stay, like they invited us in, we'll eat it. But like send a couple people back to get some real food.
Oh, yeah, because it's ridiculous.
Look what they're having.
And then myth number three is that Thanksgiving was about religion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, about religious freedom.
Everything become about religion after it happens?
Right.
And then people go back and throw, as you say, smear religion on top of it.
Right. Because the pilgrims never would have tolerated festivities as a true religious event.
Because
they were about religious freedom.
Yeah.
To get away from that.
Yeah. Yeah, so. They were trying to get free of that, right? So it was a religious freedom getting away from religion.
Yeah.
As opposed to what now it is, it's the right to practice your religion, which nobody is stopping you from handling snakes, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't want to handle nobody snakes cares. With you.
I think we talked about this one before, that pilgrims ate turkey. That's a myth. Hmm. There was no turkey.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They had things, they didn't have all the traditional eats that we know.
Or what we're calling traditional, I guess. Yeah.
It was more like they had lobster.
That's oyster. See? That things sounds like right. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things like oysters where I'm from were like a local food. That's what a lot of First Peoples or Native Americans ate. Why is it? I don't understand why deer has never been on the. Why, I feel like venison should be the centerpiece of Thanksgiving. Yeah. Because I feel like that's what would have been eaten back then, right? And it's also the season for deer.
And they didn't have forks either at that time. Everything was eaten with their fingers, their hands.
It would be so much more fun if we did it like that.
Yeah.
Now.
And so
just a hunk of venison.
The turkey came about because like Victorians prepared Thanksgiving with the food that was available then. And that's when turkeys were introduced.
Okay, so that's what we're saying. We're saying that's traditional when really that's the second tradition.
Right, that happened like in 1863, you know, that at that time.
That's interesting.
Let's see, what else do we have here?
We used to always have succotash. I don't know if you people even say that anymore. It's like it's like a supposedly a Native American medley of like local vegetables. It's like peas, carrots, and things, and corn and things like that. Succotash. That used to be a big thing.
Everyone would laugh and say succotash. Yeah. We didn't know what it was, really.
We used to have succotash all the time when I was growing up. It's not that great.
No.
It's kind of the weak vegetables in my mind. It's like the cheap vegetables.
Oh,
like roots.
Oh, all the
corn. You know,
starchy,
that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Starchy stuff.
I mean, look, if you need energy, hey.
Sure.
You know.
Also, pilgrims never lived, this is another myth, pilgrims never lived in log cabins.
Huh.
Yeah.
How do they live?
They
going to school here, people.
Clapboard houses made of sawed lumber.
Interesting.
That's what they did. Log cabins were virtually unknown in England at the time of the pilgrims when they arrived in America.
So that's something they developed later.
Yeah, it was the Germans and the Swedes brought those over.
You know what?
In the late 17th century.
That makes sense now that I'm thinking about it. Because you think about, you know, what people have for their second homes in, you know, in Northern Europe or like, you know, like a cottage. It's more like a log cabin.
Yeah.
Huh, I never thought about that.
Yeah,
thank you, Germany and Sweden.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And, you know, the Lincoln Logs.
Yeah.
That I used to play with. I love
Lincoln
this.
Logs.
And then another myth is that pilgrims dressed in black.
Mm-hmm.
They did not dress in black.
We read about that. They got quite flamboyant.
Yeah, they did not wear the funny buckles, the weird shoes, the black steeple hat. All of that. That was just illustrators made that up.
But it's kind of like the Back to the Future, where they showed us what we would have been wearing a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's right. If someone adopts it. Like, I wonder when, because you know what people do 70s style now or 80s style? I'm like, no, that's not people were wearing. This is what you have now is a much nicer stylized version of what we were wearing. I was wearing a sweatshirt dress down to my feet that an adult could have worn.
Yeah, right.
And I had a belt and like four pairs of socks and it didn't look good.
No, it didn't look good. We wore it. We loved it.
So the version that you have now is cute, but that's not in the '70s. If you think you're dressing 70s style, then you should be sweating in some polyester and you should be stank.
Yes.
Because that's the style of the day.
That's it. You know? And it's going to not have any give. Actually.
No.
It's
so everything is going to be ill fitting.
Yeah. Let's see. Then we talked about how pilgrims and Puritans are two different groups.
Yes. Do not insult white people by throwing those two groups together. It's like saying Japanese and Chinese are the same.
Yeah.
It's not the same.
Oh, yeah. Go read The Wordy Shipmates by
Which
Sarah
I still
Bell.
Have.
You still have my
I
book.
I know. Yeah. I got to read it. I know.
It's a great book. And it.
And
really
we know
goes into
Katie
detail.
Keeps a list in that box in her house.
I do.
Of people.
Who have my books.
Of people who have her books. I got to get in there and erase my name.
Yeah.
Be like, I don't see it on this list, so.
So this is my tradition now. Every Thanksgiving show, I'm going to bring up the book, The Wordy Shipmates.
You're never going to get it back.
Sarah Bell. And then watch Jaquetta react.
And when I edit this, I'll edit that part out like it never happened. Like it never happened. Okay. So we.
And there's another myth here that Puritans hated sex. They didn't hate sex. They liked it. They welcomed sex as a God-given responsibility.
You had to do it. And it had to be good.
Yeah, you had to keep going.
And once, both people had to be satisfied.
When one member of the First Church of Boston refused to have conjugal relations with his wife of 2 years running, he was expelled.
What?
Yep.
And did the wife bring that in?
Yeah.
Did she stand up and she was like, it's been 2 years? And they were like, get him out of here.
Yeah.
Get him out of here.
How dare he?
You call yourself a Puritan?
Yeah.
What is wrong with you, man?
Yeah.
Look at this woman.
Yeah, and Cotton Mather, the celebrated Puritan minister, condemned a married couple who had abstained from sex in order to achieve higher spirituality.
Wow.
They were victims, he wrote, of blind zeal. How dare you?
I like his style.
Get blind to work. Get.
But they're discussing. Can you imagine discussions like this? See, this is, I'm this not... Is, Yeah, I grew up in a religious setting, but we didn't talk about anything.
Yeah, no.
Everyone sat, you looked at what was going on in the front.
Yeah.
There was no discussion. There was no talk amongst yourselves. No. You know, that was considered to be gossip, and that was not for inside the church. It seems like they were just bringing stuff up, like, in the middle of it.
I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
I am not getting it, and I'm pissed.
And maybe it wasn't even controversial. They were like, this is the time when everyone is free to talk about sexual matters of a church or religious nature.
Yes. Yes. Good wife.
Sarah. With an H.
Right.
Good wife Rebecca with an H.
Another myth is that Puritans hated fun.
Okay.
Yeah. They loved to, oh my gosh, they dressed in bright colors. They welcomed laughter.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't?
I know.
But they always characterize cultures like that. Like,
yeah. No, they enjoyed a good time and they liked sex.
They drank.
Well, they did all that stuff. Yeah. But what we think of the Puritans as the ones who were just like humorless and sexless and, you know.
Well, I think we say that because we try to trick people to aspiring to something that didn't exist, which is classic, right?
Yeah.
It's just funny. Why would you rewrite how Puritans actually were to make them harsh?
Yeah.
I can see how you would rewrite how Africans were or Native Americans were to make them seem savage because you want to do something to them.
Yeah.
Or you rewrite how women were because you want to, you know, do something. But why would you defame these people? They were, you know, there's no reason for it. They weren't having that good of a time.
Yeah.
It's not like they were pimp and hoe parties.
Right.
You know? Or who knows? Maybe there were.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they were like, you know, I'm going to dress like a harlot.
Yeah.
And you're going to, you know, and you're going to dress like a man of the evening and we're going to get this party going.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay. What you got?
All right. I have some information here. It's advice on advice.
Oh, advice on advice is a segment where we find advice that's unqualified.
Yeah, it stinks.
Yes, and we give advice on that advice, hence advice on advice.
Yeah, so here's this advice. It's Thanksgiving related.
Okay.
It's called Her Weight Problem, Not Mine.
Ooh.
Over Thanksgiving, I volunteered right away. That's on you, lady.
Yeah, yeah.
To host my relatives again. That included my cousin, who used to be a plus-size woman, had gastric bypass 5 years ago, and now believes in fat shaming. Is that what they do with surgery? Is that like a surgical
thing? Yeah, the gastric
thing?
Bypasses, they make the...
With a lap band and all that? Okay, so this is like a serious surgery.
Right.
All right, she targets me. So this woman is now, she used to be plus-size, she's not anymore, and now she's into fat shaming. She targets me, especially because of the fact that I am plus-size woman too, but I love my body. During Thanksgiving, she talked about my weight to anyone who would listen.
Wow.
Is this a bit, like, around the table?
Yeah.
Or, like...
Yes, in front of other people.
Okay. Because when you say to anyone who listens, I imagine this woman flitting around the room being like, hey, did you notice that so-and-so is plus size? It's like, yeah, we're all in the family together.
Yeah.
She even after I told her to stop it.
Right.
Not forcefully enough.
Oh, my God.
So I'm thinking. I'm ashamed to say that after that, she made reference to my black swimsuit as a Shamu suit. Which, by the way, nobody is wearing, like, it's not the time to talk about bathing suits. Like, no one's wearing a bathing suit. So she's just bringing up, like, whatever she can.
Yeah.
Right?
Any ammunition. So there's no one that is more righteous than a reformed prostitute, right? Isn't that the same?
Yes.
So this woman was obese, and then she lost weight, and now she's slamming on other people.
Wow. And this woman, which is this woman saying she's plus size, I'm not sure exactly what that means for this woman, but I'm guessing it's not a health issue, and the other woman's was a health issue, is what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Since I think you get something like a gastric bypass because there's no other way for you to proceed. All right. So my temper got the better of me, finally. I grabbed some mashed potatoes with my hands and started throwing it at her. Screaming that she was a hateful, horrible person, and then tossed her out of my house.
Wow.
Now that the dust has settled, man, oh man, I wish I had been there. That sounds like fun. My family feels I owe her an apology.
Huh.
And an invitation to spend Christmas with me.
Oh, no, wait a minute. So
The family wants...
Was like, you took it too far with the potatoes.
Yeah, the family wants the woman who slung the potatoes at the other woman to apologize to the gastric bypass woman. I'll just call her that because I don't know what her name is.
No, I just...
She might tell that skinny bitch to stay, away.
You know, the thing is, it's like, but what about all the stuff that happened beforehand?
But why does the family think that... she should apologize. Yeah. Oh, for the, I mean, she can, okay, I haven't read that second. She can apologize definitely for throwing the mashed potatoes. Yeah, I guess that's above and beyond, I guess. Yeah. Although there's a lot of other things she could have done.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, I'm not that big of a person, but if someone is smaller than me, I'm like, really, you gonna give me lip?
Yeah.
You're 4 feet tall, I'm five feet tall. What do you think is gonna happen here?
Right.
So please help them get me off my back already. So here's the advice. Now, I'm kind of sad that my family's Thanksgiving was so civilized that no one got a bowl of sauerkraut dumped on anyone's head. I agree.
Yeah, right.
Because I know this is horrible and hateful for this the situation for this woman, but I hope that this woman who threw the mashed potatoes could actually go back later and enjoy the fact that she got to throw mashed potatoes at somebody who was a bitch.
Yeah.
Because that's a rare occasion.
Right.
I could totally understand how, instead of passing the potatoes, is that how it happened? Can you please pass the potatoes?
Sure.
No problem. She decided to toss the potatoes. Your cousin is despicable. What you have to do with such people when you're forced to share a space with them is walk away. It's her house.
Yeah.
I understand that you were highly provoked, but you should have kept in mind that her attempts to fat shame you, she was actually shaming herself. Yeah, people say that, but like when you're the person on the receiving end, it doesn't feel like
right.
Like,
right, and especially if people around
aren't backing you up,
yeah. Or just saying, you know, come
they
on,
told
enough.
Her to apologize. So was that woman really
so
shaming
she
herself?
She is supposed to be like to take this kind of situation and accept it as normal. And she's going to have to deal with it and rise above it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you made it physical. I mean,
yeah. Well.
Whatever. So be the better person and apologize for losing it. But as for Christmas, unless in response to you, she gives you a full-bodied apology. Did she really say that?
Yeah.
Yeah. At least she didn't say be the bigger person. In which she explains she now sees how cruel and insulting she has been. If you don't see any reason for you to invite someone to your home who rejoices in making you miserable. So she's saying basically, unless this woman apologizes, don't. I'm saying don't apologize. Unless she comes to you and really gives a true, because I guess there are, I don't believe in forgiveness, but I mean, maybe this person does. And maybe this woman who just had the gastric bypass was just, something else is going on and she just got out of control.
Yeah.
I guess. But otherwise I'd be like, no, I don't know if I don't think I would take that as an apology because she didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like she was provoked into, the woman who had the surgery wasn't provoked into attacking this woman.
Right, right.
She just and started doing it on her own.
Nobody asked her.
Yeah.
Her opinion on this.
On anything.
Figure.
And they're all family. So it's like, I thought it's weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is very strange. There's a lot more emotional, things happening there.
But
there's
do you think that, like, because in a family situation, I can see, like, if you're with your colleagues or something and you're a nasty person and you want to embarrass Carol, let's say, because Carol gets on your nerves.
Yeah.
But with family, it's kind of like everybody already knows everybody's issues. Are you really gaining any ground?
Yeah.
By fat shaming this woman?
Well, she knows that she's getting a reaction out of this. She's making this woman.
She
feel
got
bad.
Her ass thrown out. I feel like this woman physically. She said she tossed her out of her house.
Yeah.
I'm imagining she like put her hands on her. Was like blink.
Yeah.
Get out of here. For Thanksgiving. All right, what do you have?
I have a Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, so Tales from Der Campfire is a segment where we find tales of the internet or folklore, fake lore, myth, urban legends,
ghost
tales
stories.
Of the paranormal, all that. And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So
gather around, listeners.
Yeah, and this is Thanksgiving related.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Emphasize the related. Yeah.
It's related.
Okay, this is from somebody in Oklahoma.
Okay, that's Thanksgivingly.
Yeah. The author is a middle-aged adult. This is all they'll tell you.
Okay. It's a weird way to just...
It's so funny. These stories, where I get these stories.
40-esque.
Yeah.
Voluptuous woman.
Okay. My father bought a music box from...
Oh, really?
Okay. My father bought a music box for my mother 20 years ago.
Okay.
He was on a business trip to Denver, Colorado, and brought one for her and one for me for Christmas.
When did this take place? 1920?
Okay.
It's so old-fashioned on a business trip.
I know. Hers is a Blue Merlin-style magician that plays music of the night from Phantom of the Opera.
Ew.
My mother was never a Phantom fan.
Okay.
And she never wound or played the music box.
Okay.
It sat on a shelf hung in the far wall of the living room away from general traffic.
Is this thing hideous? I'm just imagining, like...
Well, what about this marriage here that he's like, you don't like Phantom? Perfect. Here's a music box.
But what is about this music box that it doesn't have the Phantom on top of it?
No, but it's... The music, right, it has Merlin.
Yes.
This is the worst gift. So this guy's like, yeah, I cared about you. I got this on my business trip.
Yeah.
You'll hate everything about it.
He didn't wind it.
Yeah, but no, but
when he bought it, because if he had seen, it's like,
that's how much he cares.
But if I got you a music box and it played a theme from Cats, but on top of it was Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, I know.
You'd be like,
no, this is a gift from your husband to you.
Yeah.
All right.
He doesn't care.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So there it sits on the shelf. 13 years ago, it was about Thanksgiving time. My whole family was home. My brother was home from the Navy. My husband and I, our oldest son and our new 1-month-old.
Mm-hmm. New, brand new.
My parents had divorced the year after he bought the box.
Oh.
So he was the only one there, although he came by later to see. So he was the only one not there, but okay. He came by later to see my brother. My mother, brother, and oldest son were in the kitchen. My husband was back in the bedroom, and I was sitting on the couch with the baby in the living room about 15 feet away from the music box.
Okay.
Suddenly, it just started playing. I thought it was a spring.
The music of the night.
Yeah. I thought it was the spring that had been wound too tight. It just let loose. So I put the baby in his carrier and walked over and picked up the figure. Mm-hmm. The music box workings were a clear plastic box and the bass.
Mm-hmm.
The key wasn't moving. The drum wasn't moving. And the spring was completely slack. The song still played, even with it in my hand, for 3 full minutes and then stopped.
And you didn't smash it?
Yeah. We all thought this was very strange, but shrugged it off.
There is nothing creepier to me than a music box playing. Yeah. I would never, because I had a couple music boxes when I was a kid, and even then I was like, I think I pulled the pin part out. So I was like, no, I don't want that little ballerina going around.
And the music was always creepy, mm-hmm. and then it would go either too fast or too slow.
Yeah, and you know the little cheap ballerina
that's
on the top that goes around?
Spins around, yeah.
I colored mine in, so it was black. I was like, this is crap. You know? What do I want, you know?
That's so funny.
But I just remember it, like, because you would wind it and it would go, and then sometimes randomly it would just go like, ding, 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 ding. Like a couple of times, it's like, no.
Yeah. So last year at Christmas, actually on Christmas Eve, it went off again. We were all in the kitchen at least 20 feet away from it. This time
5 feet further away. And it still went off.
This time my
the
brother.
The music of the night.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's the worst musical ever. I'm sorry. That music, I loved it.
Yeah, I did
death,
too. Yeah.
But
I cannot
listen to it now. It's corny.
Yeah. He's here.
Yeah. Like, dude, Christine is not interested in you.
Yeah. Oh, right. Oh, and they're just terrible human beings in this song.
Quit trying to manhandle her.
Right.
You know?
She doesn't like
She's
you.
She's not into you, dude. But and leave Raul alone.
He's like, just if she would come down in the sewers with me.
No. And you know what? Guess what? It's not about how you look. It's what's inside.
Yeah.
But also how you look, because it's, you know, a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah, right.
Let's be honest.
So now we're 20 feet away from it. And then this time my brother walked over to pick it up and brought it over for all of us to see.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't moving. It played a little longer. And then I got frustrated with it, looked up at the ceiling and said, what? It immediately stopped. Playtime was 2 minutes, three seconds, not the full 3 minutes.
Who was taping this? Okay.
Yeah. Yesterday, I pulled into my driveway. My husband was holding the music box in the front door, greeted me.
Oh, my God. What a douche.
It started playing exactly 3 minutes before I pulled in the driveway and stopped as my car pulled up to a stop in front of the garage. Again, mm-hmm. no movement from the music box. Mechanical workings.
At this point, I'm wondering, do you guys not have a baseball bat?
Yeah.
Or something?
I've taken the figure apart to see if there was an electronic component that might be causing it, but the figure is hollow with no electronics. The end.
That's weird.
It's a weird one.
Why does she still have it? It's just one of those things. I'm not sentimental about stuff like that. I know you're not sentimental either because I've seen your apartment. And there's nothing in it. It's like my apartment.
Yeah.
There's just the things that are really of importance.
Yeah.
But like something like this, like a music box that plays music of the night that has Merlin on top of it.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And it's also it's from a time where they knew their marriage was falling apart.
Yeah.
And it was just one of these kind of chess moves in the destruction of
the marriage. Did he grab it in the airport? Is it one? Probably. You know when you see weird gifts in the airport and you're like, who's getting this? It's bad husbands.
Yeah. Bad husbands.
Bad husbands. People who cheat.
Yeah. People. Marriages that are just falling apart.
Oh, that's terrible. I like that. Kind of creepy.
Yeah.
All right. So I have something here. How to avoid a family disaster at Thanksgiving.
Oh, God.
Plan.
Oh, you know, because it's just a powder keg.
Yes.
The holidays are a powder keg.
They are, except for people like us who don't do them.
Right.
We'll probably be at a restaurant this year. You're
having
welcome
lobster.
To come. Yes, having lobster or something like that and not having family. So it says plan, in order to avoid this family disaster, it says plan for a holiday that's just so-so. So keep your expectations in the basement.
Oh, my God.
You know, keep them low. The harmonious American family happy sitting around the turkey-laden table. No.
Mm-mm.
See, you see that on the cover of women's magazines. Don't read women's magazines.
Yeah, right, right, right.
Please don't. They don't. I stopped reading them years ago, and I feel so much better about myself, and I'm not being facetious. You see ads for on table, you know, you see ads for tablecloths and centerpieces. You see it on television. Doesn't the family make you crazy? No. It says, actually, the image of a perfect family can make you crazy.
Yeah.
I said no, but I was wrong. The image of a perfect family can make you crazy.
It can.
According to many leading family psychologists. And then they quote here this guy, which is the Dr. Morton Norman.
Morton Norman.
Morton Norman.
Get Morton Norman on it.
Morton Norman, PhD.
I'd like to just tell you a little side note. That's something.
Do you know Morton Norman?
No.
Okay.
But I just realized this has nothing to do with anything. It just made me remember that.
Non sequitur.
Yeah. You know the movie Alien?
Yeah, I love Alien.
Okay, so when they go to the planet and they find the alien, they're like, oh gosh, we got to just get out of here.
Yeah.
And what did Ripley say? She goes, we have to nuke this place from orbit. I thought that she had said all these years, and I just found out last week, I thought she said, we'll have to nuke this place for morbid.
What does that mean?
I thought it was just some kind of space term for like,
oh,
for
yeah,
them,
you
like,
know.
For, that like nuke it and it's like to kill everything. So nuke it for morbid. All these years, I thought she said nuke it for morbid.
And you just happened to be watching it. And
no, somebody like wrote a quote from it and said nuke it from orbit. I'm like, oh.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
All right.
That's like me with every song I've ever sung.
Yeah, basically. So,
more normal.
Anyway, I know it has nothing to do with anything.
Oh, I love it, though. Now I want to watch it. I have it at home. That's still one of the scariest movies. As a child, that terrified me, but it also let me know what a good horror film is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're back to Morton Norman, author of The 14-Day Stress Cure, The Morton Norman Cure. It says that one of the leading stressors of Thanksgiving is having unrealistic expectations about how a normal family acts. I'd like to say one of the leading stressors that you have to get with your fucking family.
Yeah.
That's people are stressed out about. And these are people that you just can't seem to get away from.
Yes.
You're
tethered to them.
Yes. It's like the umbilical cord is never really cut. And it just wraps around everybody.
Tighter.
Yes,
tighter and tighter. Every year.
Until you can't breathe. It says he and other experts believe that you are much better off lowering your expectations.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Because every family is unique, not perfect. It's a mistake to buy into the perfect family idea. I think, is anyone still buying into that? Isn't every holiday movie now about how families are dysfunctional?
Yeah. But not my family.
Yeah, definitely not my family. There's another one. Dr. William Pittman, not as fun a name. Atlanta-based psychiatrist says family ties may be the tightest at Thanksgiving, but so are family tensions. Holidays are peak time for family violence, visit to emergency room, and crisis for those undergoing treatment. So they have here they give you some tips on how to avoid literally going crazy, I guess.
Okay.
Number one, and this sounds like a lot of the things here seem like for dating as well. Right?
Right. Oh, God.
Number one, spend the holiday in a public place.
Yes.
Is your family that bad that you have to be in public?
You know what? Maybe that's a great idea because it'll keep people in check. Stay in check, Aunt Rose.
Because we're out in public.
Yeah.
Give the family cooks a break by moving Thanksgiving to a restaurant. Most people behave better in a public place.
Right.
That's true. They drink less because they got to pay for it.
Right. And then also nobody can sit there and think that their dish is the best dish.
Yes. Or make any comments about the food.
Or like who brought what.
And it says here.
Oh, you only brought a pie?
It also gives people the right to leave when they want to.
Yeah.
I'm going as the appetizers are served.
Yeah.
I don't need a menu.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah.
If you cannot afford this strategy, try inviting some of your friends to your Thanksgiving. True. Family members are less likely to act up in front of outsiders. Yes, I have gone as a human shield before to mm-hmm. people's families for holidays. I don't mind being a shield.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because you see people do put it on.
Yeah.
For you. Because you hear these horror stories and then you get there and everyone's really, really nice.
Yeah, they're going to be nice to you.
And I'm like, sure. I thought you said your uncle was in the Klan. They're like, oh, he is. He just got to put that away for today.
Yeah, because you're here.
Because you're here.
Right.
Number two, if you are the host, don't exhaust yourself before Thanksgiving dinner. So how are we going to do this? Right before the holidays, furniture and rug sales always go up.
Yeah, they do. Like crazy.
What is it?
Before the holidays, everyone's like, I need to get my house ready.
Oh, I need to think about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they got to get... You need...
Maybe this is a suburban thing.
Yeah, because you have to decorate. You have to make sure you have the right dishes and candles and decorations.
Huh.
And,
you know, I've never really...
Because your place looks tired.
I never really thought about that. Because yeah. I grew up in a really modest rural community, and, like, nobody does anything like that.
Oh, no. You know? This is a big deal. This is, like, a very busy time in the design
in
world.
The, really?
Yeah. For,
I didn't even think about that. Retail, yeah, tabletop.
Tabletop for your placemats. You want
but,
to
I mean, a rug, too?
And rugs. Sure. Yeah.
I think that's a little, like, above and beyond that. I need to put down, like, a new floor.
So busy.
Before people come in. Wow, I did
so
not
busy.
Know that.
Your flooring, yes.
Wow.
Your flooring. People. Oh, yeah, people want to redo things like from top to bottom. Painting, all of
that. Are we just bad people? Because I'm not doing that shit. You want something new? Pick a new restaurant.
Right.
Really? See, ask them if they have new carpet.
Yeah. Right.
Why would I put down a new carpet for people to spill shit on it?
Oh, I got to show everybody how you're doing.
It's so funny. The few times I've had big events, I take everything out of their room that's nice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about my guests. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, don't you want space?
Yes.
Not everything that's nice. Like, yes. I always think, like, clear everything out and make as much space as you can mm-hmm. for people. Nobody wants to look at your shit anyway. Okay, so... Many family members, especially siblings, are in competition, like who has the best and cleanest house, who is the best cook. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cleaning, I understand. Mm-hmm. Like, and cooking, I understand. If you're hosting, don't get into this kind of competitiveness. It will only exhaust you and ruin your holidays. It's okay to cut corners. Yeah, because you're not going to hear about that.
Yeah. Right. You know that everybody is looking at everything.
Yeah. The rug was nicer last year.
Right. Running their finger across the, yeah. Like, where's the white glove?
I think my family is just too casual for that. Yeah. Okay, so... It says here, include, I disagree with this. Include ready-made foods.
No.
Unless, like, get it from a bakery, yes, I get mm-hmm. that. Like, it's a specialty thing.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I don't know, ready-made foods.
No.
Like, close off messy rooms, yes.
Sure.
And then accept help in the kitchen.
That's what you do. When you have a messy room, just spray it down with some air deodorizer, close the door.
Yes, and keep it shut.
Yeah.
It says...
just in case anyone opens it, they're like, what smells like?
Well, that's what we had like one room in my house when I was growing up that was like kind of for junk and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And like if people were to come over, which was a rare occasion because we were not that social, we'll just put the extra stuff in there.
Yeah.
The dog, grandma, whatever.
Yeah, right.
Like things
yeah.
you don't want people to see.
Right.
Your uncle. Spend time and energy on planning entertainment. What kind of entertainment is there at Thanksgiving? I don't know.
Yeah, right? Get the dancing boys.
We're having strippers. Oh, my God. That's our Thanksgiving right there.
Yeah.
I just invite a couple strippers to the apartment. And
right.
Get some turkey.
Right.
And dollar bills. Each person will be handed a stack of dollar bills.
Yeah.
We're going to make it rain.
Yeah, you'll have your place setting. Make sure, yes. Right, that the fork is on the left.
And the stack of bills.
Is on the right.
Yeah, the paper stack is on the right.
Yeah.
I just make it rain. Oh, that sounds like a fun Thanksgiving. And then afterwards, we have dinner with the strippers.
Right.
They're decent human beings. They probably need to eat something.
Sure.
They just worked a pole for half an hour.
Right.
This is the most sacrilegious thing I think I've ever said. Thanksgiving is often the slowest afternoon of the year. I don't know what that means. Says Dr. William Daugherty, professor of family social science. That sounds awful. Family social science.
Yikes.
They've reduced it.
Yikes.
Of University of Minnesota. The parade, the turkey, and football games, and lethargy make it a long, boring time. Actually, those people like the parade, right?
Yeah, people love the parade.
And the football games, don't they go on all day?
Yeah.
I mean, there's football
love
all
eating,
day.
Eating food and then watching the game.
And it says families get cabin fever and tensions arise. So here's what we used to do. We would eat, and then as the kids, we would all go outside afterwards and, like, play football.
Yeah.
We didn't stay in the house because nobody wanted to. But also, this was the 80s, and the big screen TV was only 14 inches.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the same kind
the
of,
same
like,
big home,
you know, sit around the thing. It says, let the dinner end by early afternoon. Good luck.
Yeah.
We're just getting started.
Just getting started. Yeah. We start at like 1.
To eat?
No, for appetizers.
Yeah. You don't eat until later.
Yeah. It's like 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Or if you're Black Five. Oh, you no. said three. Let dinner end by early afternoon so people can go to a movie.
Yeah.
Or take a walk, yeah, if they so desire. Or hit the club. That's what people used to do when you're younger.
Yeah.
Give children the freedom to play outside. If they don't already have that freedom, you got another problem.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, really?
Are we free this Thanksgiving, Mother?
Can we go outside?
Please? No.
Allow teenagers to go out by themselves because you know they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
They do not want to be there. Bundle up and go look at store windows together. Have board games and other entertainment available. You know what? I would just start ringing a bell and be like, everybody out.
Yeah.
You don't have to go home.
But you can't stay here.
But you can't stay here. It says, number four, have a clever seating arrangement.
Oh, the clever seating arrangement. Yeah. Yes.
Try using place cards to assign seats. I don't know how I feel. I mean, okay. So you can separate people who don't get along. But maybe you only have eight people. You're going to have place cards?
Yeah, you do that. Oh, we do that all the time. We always had place cards.
Oh, that's because there's a lot of you.
Yeah, and you had to make sure you were sitting, somebody responsible was sitting by the little kids.
Okay.
To help. And who wanted to sit next to grandma. And then
there a fight to get next to grandma? Do people try to move their card?
It depends. It depends on what's going on.
Okay.
And then it was really funny because then you see whoever you assign, like one of the younger kids, you know, put the place cards down.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd be like switching them around. Like, I want to sit next to fun uncle so-and-so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny.
I think, okay, that's cool. Yeah, I have such a small family, so a lot of this stuff, like, I'm actually ignorant of it.
I'll tell you, years ago, this was terrible. My grandmother was older, much older, and I was sitting next to her. So, it was fine. I was going to help grandma.
How old were you, like a teen?
No, I was a grown adult.
Oh, okay,
grown adult. And this is how terrible, okay, this goes down. One of my brothers taped a fart machine under her chair.
Oh, my God. This is like out of a film.
Yeah, right. So I'm sitting next to her, and they're doing the remote. I have no idea the machine is there. I think it's grandma who is,
you know, flagellant.
Yeah.
I'm
just dying, laughing, like, oh, my God, grandma.
What did grandma think?
She just didn't even react to it. She was just like,
that could be me. I don't care.
I don't care anymore. I'm 95.
Yes. I'll do this as much as I want. I'm joining in.
Yeah.
I know it's a machine.
I don't even feel it anymore.
Yes.
Whatever. And so my brothers had a good time watching grandma's non-reaction and watching my reaction.
My God, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
1 point for the brothers. That's fucking funny.
It is.
I like that. So yeah, you can do stuff like that when they're like, when you're an only child, it's like, yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
There's nobody else here.
Yeah. My brothers would antagonize me. They would...
Were they the kind of people, did they get, like, sneezing powder? Like, were they those kind of kids growing up? They liked the lot of joke stuff and prank stuff?
They would.
Because I always wonder who bought those.
I'm older than them.
Okay.
When they were teenagers, and I would come home, and I would want to take an afternoon nap.
Okay.
It was just when they were coming home from school. And I was in college, and I would be, like, in classes all day, and I had to work at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to rest a little
bit.
This
was like your break time.
Yeah, I just needed an hour to take a nap before I had to go and work. And they would come home and just be screaming and running around the house and stuff. I'm like, guys, can you just be quiet for this time when you come home or go outside and play? I don't care.
You know how that's going to work.
Right. And so then I'd go back to the room and lay down. They'd make more noise. They'd come out. Please, you guys, can you please go outside? I just need a nap before
I
gotta
get to work.
You know, I'm so exhausted. Go back to lay down. Silence. Then, blah, blah, you know, they do it again. Come on, guys. You know, so this would escalate. Come on, you guys. Knock it off. And then they knew by the fifth time I would explode and just scream at them. So in the fifth time, I'd go into the room and I'd whip open the door. I'm like, you guys, shut the hell up. And they'd snap, take a picture of me.
That's like classic little brother stuff.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
And they'd laugh and laugh because they'd do this to get me so angry.
Did they get the photo?
To get the photo, yeah.
Was it a montage? Did they ever like make a flip book of all the angry photos? This is back when you still had to print out a picture.
You had to print them. They had to go.
So they couldn't laugh at it until like a week later when they got it from the photo hut.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Not for you.
It was funny. I appreciate it, though. I think it's funny.
Two points for them.
Yeah.
No, they got an extra point for that. It says, so try using the place cards. Don't seat family members who have been feuding for years next to each other. If I'm having a feud, I'm not going to let the fact that you're a couple chairs down stop me.
Yeah, right.
You out.
Right.
Look here, Eugene.
I'll just project my voice.
Yes. I'll just be like, can you tell Eugene he's a dick?
Yeah.
Family therapist, Dr. Tina Tassina.
Oh, boy.
I like that one. Suggests assigning a handler to what? Each, what are they, celebrities? To each family troublemaker. The diplomat's job, they just got a raise.
Okay.
They were a handler, now their diplomat's job is to smooth over a troublemaker's nasty remarks, water down and imbibe his drinks. You just try to water down the family drunk's drinks and see how that goes.
My God,
They know. They're an alcoholic.
Oh, my God.
They're not amateurs. I know when my drink is being watered down, and I'm not an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, really? You're going to get it past the pro?
Right.
And the last one is have a strategy if things get out of hand. I think that's the bell. You just start ringing everybody out.
Get out of
everybody out. There's an old axiom in etiquette book. Treat family members like friends and treat friends like family. Few people do this. Mm-hmm. Those who would never insult a friend often feel free to make unkind remarks to family. Of course, because what do you care?
Right.
Yeah, sure. You tell your cousin to fuck off. What difference does it make?
Right.
This is how things get out of control at family dinners. Carol Rubin, writing in Psychology Today, says, watch out for the following signs that a fight is getting out of hand. Like, if you can't tell. Okay.
I don't know if this is going to escalate into fisticuffs.
He's got a bald fist. Is that going to go for it?
Yeah.
So, issues proliferate. That's one. Attacks become personal.
Okay.
People call each other names. More and more family members are getting involved into the fray. I would say if there's anything that even remotely resembles a fray, you have problems.
No kidding, right?
Like if you think a fracas or a fray is going to be there.
And it's suddenly the Jets and Sharks.
Yes. When you're a Jet. Try changing the subject before. So you have the apologist, you know, the peacemaker, that one family member who's like, I can't have an opinion of my own or exert myself. I got to watch out for everybody else and smooth everything over.
Such an exhausting the diplomat. Job,
I think I'm the opposite of that. I'm like stirring the pot.
Oh no.
He pretty much said that you might be gay and in the closet.
Oh.
And wait.
Oh my God.
Why isn't she married? You know, try changing the subject before the argument escalates. That's just to deflect questions from me though. So if anyone says anything about me, I'll just try to deflect it onto someone else.
Right.
I'm not married, but she's not been married for longer.
Yeah, right.
No. Says use humor to diffuse a situation.
No.
That doesn't work with family.
No.
You're just going to come in with your material.
It depends what kind of humor you use. Are you going to go Don Rickles style?
Just start insulting everybody. People. I'll tell you this. I did comedy for years. Not a single person in my family finds me humorous.
No.
I don't think that.
Right? Yeah. It's like, God.
They didn't think I was funny when I was growing up.
They don't think.
And even though audiences might have thought I was funny, they didn't care.
Yeah.
One of my relatives actually told, because they saw my website, they're like, it's not really to my liking. Fine. It's not my thing.
I know.
Comedy's not your thing? Fine.
Oh, yeah. I think I showed some family members something that I wrote, some comedy that I wrote, and they were like, oh, maybe you can get one of your comedy friends to help you make this funny. Yeah.
Well, at least I didn't give you tips.
Yeah.
Okay. No one in my family has ever asked me to tell them a joke.
Oh.
That's how bad it is. Because that's usually when people find out you do comedy, that's all they want.
Yeah.
But I was like, yeah, I'm doing comedy. It was like, yeah, well, your cousin's working on a master's or something. Yeah. moving right along. So, yeah, so these are some tips. I would just say, number one, you go to a restaurant by yourself or with your friends.
Yeah.
With people who you know are not going to get drunk, start some shit, or, you know, places where you know there's not going to be a fray.
Yeah.
Or, go to someone else's family because that's always fun. When there's someone else's family and there's a fracas, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Someone else's drunk uncle is funny. Not so much.
You're there to tamp down the situation for that family.
Yeah. People will be on their best behavior. Yeah.
I
retract that, and we're back.
I know, we're back, because I just wanted to say that the night before Thanksgiving is called Drinksgiving.
I didn't know that.
Or Blackout Wednesday. It is the most popular bar night, even above St. Patrick's Day or New Year's Eve.
It beats out those?
Yep, because
people are going to go see their families.
Everyone's going to see their families. They're back in their hometown.
Mm-hmm.
They had to travel, so they have to be there. And so they're just like, we need to do something. What are we going to do? Get drunk the night before.
Wow.
So you can sleep a little bit later. Usually these are the people that aren't cooking.
Okay.
So
I hope
they
not.
Can sleep a little later and then have a nice big meal. Mm-hmm.
When they wake up drunk.
Yeah.
They can start eating.
Yeah.
This is not a bad idea.
But it's becoming so out of control. You don't even want to go out on the road. Like,
Oh, hell
we don't
no.
want to drive because there's so many drunk drivers out there.
We have Uber. People need to get away from that now. There's no excuse now.
Right. And so hospitals are bracing for a lot more accidents and people getting hurt because they're so drunk.
You know what this tells me? I think we need more opportunities in our culture to relax. People are working too hard. People are getting too stressed out. This is a result of this.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And also, it's not only drinking, but there's synthetic marijuana bath salts mixed with alcohol that are just...
Who is doing that? What are we, old? Marijuana, like synthetic marijuana and bath salts plus booze?
And then on top of that, there's more injuries because it's cold out. And usually the temperatures, physical injuries will coincide with the lower temperatures. Because inebriated partygoers will slip on sidewalks. Scantily clad people are putting themselves at risk for hypothermia.
Scantily clad.
Yeah, so there's...
What's it called again?
It's called Drinksgiving or Blackout Wednesday.
We're going out the night before Thanksgiving to see Macy Gray, but it's only a 90-minute concert, so I don't know how blackout drunk I can get.
Yeah, well...
but I don't... It never occurs to me. I mean, I don't do... you've spent Thanksgiving with me. I do put it away. I tie one on, as it were. Mm-hmm. But I kind of keep it going throughout that whole weekend. I don't go anywhere, though. Yeah, my plan is to lock it down
and just
stay put.
Yeah, so they say that between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day, 700 people are injured or killed.
What?
Every day during that 36-day stretch.
What? 700 people?
A day.
That's crazy.
Between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day because of all the partying that's going on.
Wow. Why don't we just make it easier in our culture and safer for people to party?
Yeah.
Dude, I think one way to go with this, what people would say, we need to cut back. You're not going to stop people from... People obviously need to relax and enjoy themselves, and people are obviously stressed out. Like, we need to find a way in our culture to parcel these things out.
Yeah.
Because I think people feel like the only time they can do this is this holiday season.
Yeah.
So once it starts on, you know, what is it, Drinksgiving or whatever?
Drinksgiving.
It goes all the way until New Year's.
Yeah.
I think if we just stretch it out throughout the year, we could get people drinking moderately but more often.
Yeah.
That's the
platform where you run on.
Yes.
Drink moderately and more often.
More often. Yeah.
And say good day. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks.
I always laugh at movies, especially that are supposed to take place in another time period.
They're so beautifully stylized.
It's so stylized, but with whatever. Like, I love, Dances with Wolves.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like an 80s version of that time period, because he's got a mullet.
He totally has a mullet.
Yeah.
Now that I'm thinking about this, I took this for granted.
Yeah.
If they had made that film in the 70s, he would have had a big porn stash, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If they made it in the 90s, he would have had a Caesar.
Now it would be a faux hawk.
Yes, now it would be a faux hawk. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I'd love, just look at any movie that was made in a particular era that was supposed to be made in, that depicts another time.
I'm going to look back and see that in Dances with Wolves, he was rocking like a jean jacket or something.
Yeah, that and, what is it, the Robin Hood one. It's all Kevin Costner.
Kevin Costner. Again, Robin Hood was like, you know, that guy in your town who had a pickup truck.
Right.
And a mullet.
Right.
Was misunderstood.